You're listening to SBS News.
The United Nations does not apply the word genocide lightly, yet it's the term being used in the case of alleged human rights abuses against Myanmar's Rohingya by the country's military. An independent UN-led investigation has found crimes against the Muslim minority could meet the legal definition of genocide. Former Australian Human Rights Commissioner Christopher Sidoti, part of a three-member UN fact-finding mission, says determining genocidal intent is difficult because there is often no tangible evidence. But he says his team found the military clearly orchestrated the abuses in northern Rakhine State.
In the case of Myanmar, like almost all circumstances of genocide, there is no smoking gun. But that is the case, you know, almost universally when cases of genocide have gone before the courts. The intent has to be inferred from the surrounding circumstances. In Myanmar, there is a very clear chain of command, and there is no doubt in our minds whatsoever that what we saw happen in Rakhine as a whole would not have happened without it firstly being within the knowledge of the senior military leadership and secondly under their effective control.
It has been 1 year since the military's brutal crackdown in Rakhine forced about 700,000 Rohingya to flee to neighbouring Bangladesh. Most now languish in refugee camps in Cox Bazar on the country's southeast coast. As part of the investigation, the UN mission travelled there and conducted hundreds of interviews with victims and eyewitnesses. The investigators also examined satellite images and forensic and other documentary evidence from torch villages in Rakhine. The conclusive 20-page report, which details accounts of murder, gang rape, the burning of hundreds of villages and enslavement, is the strongest condemnation yet of violence against the Rohingya. Mr. Sidoti says the military's commander-in-chief as well as five generals should be prosecuted for the crimes.
We are saying that given all of the circumstances, all of the inference, all of the facts that we have found, and we have found extensive range of facts, and the tightness of the chain of military command, they should be investigated and prosecuted.
Myanmar's military has repeatedly denied it targeted unarmed Rohingya, insisting it only went after Rohingya militants from a group that in the past had launched deadly attacks on police posts. But the UN report says the military action was grossly disproportionate to actual security threats. It also condemns the civilian government led by Nobel Peace Prize laureate Aung San Suu Kyi for allowing hate speech to thrive and failing to protect minorities. But Myanmar-based analyst David Matheson says the UN findings are unlikely to have an impact on her.
I would like to think that a report of this depth would actually seize the attention of the state councillor and compel her to actually address a conflict that she's long sidelined. Unfortunately, I can't see that. That with her current behaviour, she will do anything meaningful about the fact-finding mission.
The Director of Policy and International Programs at Save the Children Australia, Matt Tinkler, says action must come from the international community. He's just returned from the refugee camps in Cox Bazar and says considering the first-hand experiences he heard from the Rohingya there, he's not surprised by the UN report.
Every person you talk to in the camps in Bangladesh has a similar story of horror that they've fled in Myanmar. So it's vital, we think, that countries like Australia and other international actors stand up now and say what we've seen in these reports is not tolerable, it's not consistent with our values, and we need to see accountability.
Following the release of the report, Facebook has banned Myanmar's army chief and other senior military figures. The company has acknowledged it's the first time it's banned a state or military actor, adding it's a unique situation. Facebook is known to have been a platform for the army and Buddhist antagonists to spread hate speech and incendiary posts against the stateless Rohingya and other minorities. But an analyst of social media moderation and trauma at the University of Melbourne, Dr. Jennifer Beckett, says she's not impressed.
Facebook had been warned as early as 2013 that Facebook was being used as a primary method for distributing hate speech and for actually organising lynchings and things like that. So I think, you know, for them to come out, what is this, almost 5 years later and go, oh, we should have acted sooner, it seems to be a little disingenuous.
Abby O'Brien, SBS News.
If you enjoyed this, you can find more SBS features on our website or from your favourite podcaster like iTunes, Spotify, Acast, Stitcher or Wooshka.